Members of Congress expressed optimism Sunday about the prospects for reaching a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff.
Fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is entering its third full day, and both Israelis and Palestinians.
Bottom line, Senator, if the president nominates Ambassador Rice to be the next Secretary of State or some other.
Supplementary question. Do you personally believe that gay people are born gay?
Impact segment tonight, the Talking Points memo.
Hot damn politics.
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 I'm back now with the Brain Trust panel.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust panel.
Hot diggity damn
politics.
I put that shit on everything.
Joe is next.
out of Cashville. Feel good. Get up off of that thing and dance to you, you better. Get up off of that thing and dance to you, swing it now. Get up off of that thing and dance to you, you better. Get up off of that thing and try to release that pressure. Get up off of that thing and shake to you, you better. Get up off of that thing and shake to you, you better. Get up off of that thing.
Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up. Wait a minute, shake your arm, then use your palm. Stay on the scene, I like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling, shoot your bone. Get it together, right on, right on. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up.
The way it is, I've got my diggin'. He's got
machine. Stay on the scene like a loving machine. Stay on the scene. I want to count it off one more time. Now.
Go ahead.
You want to hear like it did on the top, fellas?
Get up, get on up.
People always debated, who's the greatest player of all time? Dumb questions. It should be, who's the greatest team of all time?
WGAG Radio.
Sorry, Showtime.
WGAG Radio.
Back to back.
WGAG Radio.
First three-peat.
WGAG Radio.
Even with the flu.
WGAG Radio.
No push-off.
WGAG Radio.
And my favorite. Tough to beat that. What? You think there's someone else? Prove it.
Look at the air. Look at the hang time.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Dubbing this fight the one. Don't miss the fight of the century between 44-0 Floyd Mayweather Jr. versus 42-1 Canelo Alvarez. Tune in Saturday, September 14th, as I, Nefertiti, host of Surviving the Game, and Cool J Illa bring you the blow-by-blow from inside of the ropes of Las Vegas, Nevada. Don't wait on secondhand information and results. Here's a radio vision live on WGAG Radio, directly following the Holy Tablet Show at 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't wait. Be there. It's going down.
Hey, man, I see you just got that book in your hand, man, written by Dr. York, man. Where you get that book from, Uncle? Shout out to man. I've been on Live, been on eBay, I've been on Amazon. I've been on some of them goddamn bootleg-ass Dr. York sites and shit, man. These motherfuckers charging goddamn their rent money and a goddamn down payment on a house and shit for some of them Dr. York books, man. It's hard as hell to find a goddamn one. Then I went fucked around and went on goddamn Amazon, they were selling all the tablets and shit. Well, goddamn, it was a goddamn notebook. It was a goddamn holy tablets and a goddamn binder, man. These motherfuckers charge like $600-$800 for these Dr. York books, man. Hey, man, what can I goddamn get me one of them Dr. York books reasonable, man? You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about like at least goddamn some of his shit, man. These motherfuckers really motherfucking charging out the ass, y'all. I need a legit place. Where the fuck can I get me some Dr. York books at, man, that I won't motherfucking goddamn go broke over. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Does this sound like you? Well, of course it does. Or, matter of fact, it did until you found out about All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia. That's right. All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia. You don't ever have to worry about where is your money. Who can you speak to? All these bogus, fake, bootleg sites that are perpetrating and pretending that they're selling Dr. Malachi Z. Wells' books. And even if they did, they're not selling it at an affordable price. Don't go to no one else. No one. No robots, no websites, no none of that. Get all your Dr. Malachi Z. Wells' books right here at All Eyes on Egypt. And we're running a sale for the month of September till October the 9th. On Man from Planet Rich is at $19. The El Poli Tablets is at $70. Also, let's not forget the Sacred Wisdom of Tahuti. That's in right now. Get it now while you can at $25. so much more. The Right Knowledge series, the Christ series, the Mohammedism, the Mosesism, the Christism. We got everything. The Luciferian Conspiracy. Everything written by Dr. Malachi D. York at a legitimate, affordable price in a legitimate store authorized by Dr. Malachi D. York himself. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money and enjoy the rest of your life knowing that All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia is dependable, trustworthy, and authorized by Dr. Malachi Z. York. Why wait? Pick up the phone today. Call 706-468-2319 and speak to a live person. Only at All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia. That's All Eyes, EGIPTGA.com. Call us today.
You catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Donna Coleon Show, Block Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Or GeorgiaGasper.com.
WGAG Radio.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الوالي الكريم. وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Wait a minute. Hold up. We're not talking about surviving the beauty shop. We're not even talking about surviving midday traffic. We're talking about
surviving the game.
Life is a game played on the biggest stage. The objective is to survive. Kick it with me every Friday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Please welcome the Brain Trust. The Brain Trust. The Brain Trust.
Oh,
Please welcome the Brain Trust, the Brain Trust. Brain Trust, the Brain Trust.
And only Fireliners, man, is going to take full control of this motherfucker as she do every Wednesday night. Hot damn politics. Y'all make sure y'all got y'all thinking caps on. Already see that ISIS papers already ready for class and shit. Because this right here, my nigga, you do not learn this shit in political science and government history, whatever the fuck else going on, even have your babies around, just make sure they used to hearing my mouth, goddammit. Even to have the children, bring them all to the living room, goddammit. Blast the speakers and put the computer in the goddamn living room. Let's get it. Because this is hot damn politics, man. We've got to put that shit on everything. I got to give a special shout-out, though. Man, for some reason, man, y'all always on time for the hot damn politics show. But you niggas be coming in at my show, goddamn, about 1:30, 2 o'clock, about an hour and 30 minutes. I noticed you some early-ass, on-time-ass niggas for the hot damn politics and shit, man. Paul, look at IB, look at your excuse. I'm working, dog. I work. Get the fuck out of here with that shit, goddamn it. Let me give a special shout-out to all the on-timers for hot damn politics, man, especially Mississippi. Mr. Sip is in the building, man. Miss Sip, I ain't seen your ass in a long time, but I always tend to see your hot damn politics. Let me give a special shout out to Miss Sip in the building. Also, my man, Newbie, J1, Mr. Dia, Queen Vita simulcasting in the after party, man, on the hot damn politics show, our White House correspondent. What's good with you? Also, my man, John Slim. God bless you, sweetheart. ISIS Papers, my man, I beat it, I am. All the guests tuning in, get real. That's my fairy godmother right now. What's good with you? The one and only Farasha 70, my man, DeBrock, honey, love, is in the building. Dabu, Charm 42 is also in the house, man. What's good with your Charm? And let me get my man at the top, Asara L is in the building. Everybody show up for that goddamn hot damn politics. Hey, you know what I figured out? Why? Because it be some new shit. That why? It be that new shit, Donna. You get to go, you really get to bring this to all your family members or all your in love with old government Uncle Sam ass motherfuckers. So this is, we get to goddamn bring that shit back like we intelligent. Let me explain something to you. Do you know anything about the blockers, the interrupters and shit like that? Well, let me explain this to you, how this way this works. The NSA, or the Department of Defense, motherfucker, then see, we get to goddamn do that shit to these motherfuckers. They tired of hearing us break down the Bible. They tired of hearing us break down the consciousness and shit. Like, man, get that cult talking shit up out of here. But politics, motherfucker, a motherfucker would listen to that shit, because politics is based on their well fucking being, and they can't argue with you with that shit. Because what you bring into them is something that the pastor don't talk about, something that, NCNN, goddamn it, CNN and all the rest of them motherfuckers, they don't tell these niggas what's really going on, goddamn it, and we sound like we know what the fuck we talking about after listening to hot damn politics with goddamn fireliners running the motherfucking show, because I ain't going to lie to you, motherfucker. I know how to fucking talk to just about everybody because of hot damn politics. I know how to set the record straight, goddamn it. Set the record straight. So let me go to the after party real quick, because I know that's what we're waiting on, is to bring in fireliners, also known to me. Mind you, I started that Miss Griswold shit, so put copyright trademark by Don LaVita, because you know how I feel about when y'all niggas take shit and start as if y'all motherfuckers want to start this shit. That's my shit. Miss Griswold, she's only Miss Griswold to me, by the way. She firelines everybody else because she treats y'all right and shit. Miss Griswold be like, okay. She don't even be like, that is correct, Don. Like, bitch, why don't you shut the fuck up and sit your retarded ass down some goddamn Anyway, let me go into the after party real quick, man. Give a special shout out to everybody in that thing. Jams World, Vortex Surfer, Kimbo, 25212. What's good with y'all? How y'all doing? Uh-huh. Our partners in the building. What's good with y'all? Our partners, Sakim Ra, the God, Malcolm D. Yeah. My man Jay Illa, Big Jake, what's happening, baby? Brother Sin 7, yep, it's running. All right, Fireliners, let me bring in the one and only, my Miss Griswold, and everybody else's Fireliners, to set this thing off, man.
Mic check. How you doing, y'all?
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. How are you today? I left an apple on your desk.
Oh, thank you. A green apple.
You're welcome.
Oh, and I love green apples. I don't like red apples.
Me either. I like green. Yeah, me too. That's why I left you a green apple. I hate them fucking red. They nasty, ain't they?
Oh, yeah. I don't like them red ones. They got worms and shit. Nah.
And the peel or whatever that fucking shit called, the little red part, is hard to chew and swallow. You be spitting that motherfucker out like it goddamn peanut shells or something.
Yep. But you know,
we're
going to do some nasty shit tonight, okay? This is going to be
nasty.
Nasty
in a nasty way or nasty in a real nasty way?
Nasty in a nasty information. It's just real nasty. But I think we made this point last week, and so I decided that we needed to really go in so I could prove my point.
Mm. Okay, so can you just rehash on what was discussed last week? I think Babylon, I was dead.
And I hope Babylon calls in, because a lot of this stuff, if not Babylon, then I need someone who has a scientific mind more, or somebody to call in to break down what these chemicals are, because we're going to talk about Obama's speech he gave last night.
Mm.
And we could play it. It's 15 minutes. But
can we chop it up, too?
Yeah, we could.
Like
we
stop
could,
and pause, stop
that.
And pause? Okay.
Yeah. But I want to get to the point of proving the fallacy of his speech.
Mm.
Because I think this is important. Some of this stuff, I'm sure some of the listeners know, but I don't think they understand the gravity of what America has done to its own citizens in terms
wow.
of chemical warfare.
Wow. This is nasty.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You remember we went in on the Tuskegee experiment?
When was this?
On your show. It was about a year ago.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that was just the tip of the iceberg. And I think when we actually went into the Tuskegee experiments, I told you about some of the other experiments that they did. But I have a literal breakdown of this shit. So we're going to go year by year.
Wow. We're about to go through every year after that, what they did?
No, this stuff, I think it starts like back in 1920, and it hits the really important points and the issues of how America used their chemicals in testing them on American citizens.
Wow. All right.
But, hey, we're gonna shoot bombs off in Syria because they did that shit, right? There's some bullshit going on.
Well, let's talk about this bullshit. Let me bring in some, look like we got some people that's going to assist us. I'm going to check some calls. 720, can I get a mic check?
Hey, what's up? This is
Hello,
Anthony.
Anthony. Hey, the boy from Denver.
Denver, Denver. Hey, you know what? This is crazy. When you guys are talking about Syria, I'm just going by with the news, you know, how Syria is saying we'll get back to chemical weapons. But I got a guy who was in the Army Reserve that I work with that got deployed, and he's leaving in 2 weeks. So
2 weeks ago where? To do what?
Oh, he got deployed. He's only Army Reserve, so he's only a weekend warrior. So now they're digging into the Army Reserve, and they're saying, so he's going to be waiting. He said he doesn't know. They're going to be waiting, but he's going to go to Syria, though, eventually.
Oh, okay. He's going to go out there with all them chemicals at, huh? Come on in, 727-239. 727. Going once. All right, let's set it off, Fireline. Let's set this thing off. What you got? Let's dance.
All right.
Let's do the nasty.
Obama's speech, okay. Here we
I
go.
Thought we were, okay, Obama's speech ties right on into everything, right?
Yeah, we have to do his speech first, and then we'll go into debunking his claim.
Aha. Okay.
Okay, hold on a second, because you know, of course, this is Wednesday night, and my computer wants to screw up, right?
Oh, what we call them people again, scanners?
Oh, man, they be homies. Okay, you got it, Dawn?
Where you put it?
In Blog Talk.
You put it in Blog Talk. Okay, hold up.
Here, I'll put it
I
in
got you, boo.
Okay.
Oh, Pal Talk or Blog Talk?
Both. It's in both now.
Okay. One minute. Let me set this thing up. So I'm so fired right now. I got everything together. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay, don't do this one, Don. Do another. Let me give you another one. Because this one is the transcript.
Oh, it's good to have a transcript too then.
Yeah, do this one.
Okay, so yeah, I'll keep the y'all, let's keep the transcripts too. The first link.
So, play the video on Huffington, on the one I just put in there.
Okay. I guess Comcast said, bitch, you finna play shit either. Comcast got that Obama call. Comcast said, if you don't stop them niggas right now.
This is some shit.
I ain't even on Comcast. My shit frozen and shit, right? My shit is like, Okay, hold up. See, they don't play fair. This is what I'm talking about.
I don't see this happening on nobody else's show.
Well, you have the most effective show.
Oh, please.
Yes, the fuck you do. Shit. Oh, there you go with a little ugly ass on that little thing. I see him.
Okay.
Give me 1 second. I'm going to bring in Don DeColeon real quick so that she could play it. Gotta bring her in real quick and make sure she's straight. You ready, Don? You got it queued up yet? Okay. All right.
Let me say peace to Nefertiti, wherever she is. I hope she's getting some rest.
Yeah, you know, she gotta goddamn lay it down. It's her turn now, you feel me? Me and Nef be taking sleep shifts and shit. Okay, here we go. Here we go. We ready. We was ready.
Okay, now, underneath this, for those who are not on in the blog talk, this is under Huffington Post, Obama series speech address, debate. So you can read the text of his speech, so you can follow along with the transcript.
Violana, can you hear me?
Yeah, you real soft, Don.
For some reason, these motherfuckers ain't gave me no goddamn sound. Does anybody got sound on that video? It's playing. Hold on. Oh, I know why you can't hear me. Hold on. But this ain't about you trying to hear me. Anybody got sound on that video? Oh, okay. Wait. What the fuck is this?
I have sound.
The scientists at Shell created Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline.
My fellow Americans, tonight I want to talk to you about Syria, why it matters, and where we go from here. Over the past 2 years, what began as a series of peaceful protests against the repressive regime of Bashar al-Assad has turned into a brutal civil war. Over 100,000 people have been killed. Millions have fled the country. In that time, America has worked with allies to provide humanitarian support, help the moderate opposition, and to shape a political settlement. But I have resisted calls for military action, because we cannot resolve someone else's civil war through force, particularly after a decade of war in Iraq and Afghanistan. The situation profoundly changed, though, on August 21st, when Assad's government gassed to death over 1,000 people, including hundreds of children. The images from this massacre are sickening. Men, women, children lying in rows killed by poison gas, others foaming at the mouth, gasping for breath. A father clutching his dead children, imploring them to get up and walk. On that terrible night, the world saw in gruesome detail the terrible nature of chemical weapons and why the overwhelming majority of humanity has declared them off limits, a crime against humanity, and a violation of the laws of war. This was not always the case. In World War I, American GIs were among the many thousands killed by deadly gas in the trenches of Europe. In World War II, the Nazis used gas to inflict the horror of the Holocaust. Because these weapons can kill on a mass scale, with no distinction between soldier and infant, the civilized world has spent a century working to ban them. And in 1997, the United States Senate overwhelmingly approved an international agreement prohibiting the use of chemical weapons, now joined by 189 governments that represent 98% of humanity. On August 21st, these basic rules were violated, along with our sense of common humanity. No one disputes that chemical weapons were used in Syria. The world saw thousands of videos, cell phone pictures, and social media accounts from the attack. And humanitarian organizations told stories of hospitals packed with people who had symptoms of poison gas. Moreover, we know the Assad regime was responsible. In the days leading up to August 21st, we know that Assad's chemical weapons personnel prepared for an attack near an area where they mix sarin gas. They distributed gas masks to their troops. Then they fired rockets from a regime-controlled area into 11 neighborhoods that the regime has been trying to wipe clear of opposition forces. Shortly after those rockets landed, the gas spread, and hospitals filled with the dying and the wounded. We know senior figures in Assad's military machine reviewed the results of the attack, and the regime increased their shelling of the same neighborhoods in the days that followed. We've also studied samples of blood and hair from people at the site that tested positive for sarin. When dictators commit atrocities, they depend upon the world to look the other way until those horrifying pictures fade from memory. But these things happened. The facts cannot be denied. The question now is what the United States of America and the international community is prepared to do about it. Because what happened to those people, those children, is not only a violation of international law, it's also a danger to our security. Let me explain why. If we fail to act, the Assad regime will see no reason to stop using chemical weapons. As the ban against these weapons erodes, other tyrants will have no reason to think twice about acquiring poison gas and using them. Over time, our troops would again face the prospect of chemical warfare on the battlefield, and it could be easy for terrorist organizations to obtain these weapons and to use them to attack civilians. If fighting spills beyond Syria's borders, these weapons could threaten allies like Turkey, Jordan, and Israel. And a failure to stand against the use of chemical weapons would weaken prohibitions against other weapons of mass destruction and embolden Assad's ally, Iran, which must decide whether to ignore international law by building a nuclear weapon or to take a more peaceful path. This is not a world we should accept. This is what's at stake. And that is why, after careful deliberation, I determined that it is in the national security interests of the United States to respond to the Assad regime's use of chemical weapons through a targeted military strike. The purpose of this strike would be to deter Assad from using chemical weapons, to degrade his regime's ability to use them, and to make clear to the world that we will not tolerate their use. That's my judgment as Commander-in-Chief. But I'm also the president of the world's oldest constitutional democracy. So even though I possess the authority to order military strikes, I believe it would be, in the absence of a direct or imminent threat to our security, to take this debate to Congress. I believe our democracy is stronger when the president acts with the support of Congress. And I believe that America acts more effectively abroad when we stand together. This is especially true after a decade that put more and more war-making power in the hands of the president and more burdens on the shoulders of our troops while sidelining the people's representatives from the critical decisions about when we use force. Now, I know that after the terrible toll of Iraq and Afghanistan, the idea of any military action, no matter how limited, is not going to be popular. After all, I've spent 4.5 years working to end wars, not to start them. Our troops are out of Iraq. Our troops are coming home from Afghanistan. And I know Americans want all of us in Washington, especially me, to concentrate on the task of building our nation here at home, putting people back to work, educating our kids, growing our middle class. It's no wonder, then, that you're asking hard questions. So let me answer some of the most important questions that I've heard from members of Congress and that I've read in letters that you've sent to me. First, many of you have asked, won't this put us on a slippery slope to another war? One man wrote to me that we are still recovering from our involvement in Iraq. A veteran put it more bluntly, this nation is sick and tired of war. My answer is simple. I will not put American boots on the ground in Syria. I will not pursue an open-ended action like Iraq or Afghanistan. I will not pursue a prolonged air campaign like Libya or Kosovo. This would be a targeted strike to achieve a clear objective, deterring the use of chemical weapons and degrading Assad's capabilities. Others have asked whether it's worth acting if we don't take out Assad. Some members of Congress have said, there's no point in simply doing a pinprick strike in Syria. Let me make something clear. The United States military doesn't do pinpricks. Even a limited strike will send a message to Assad that no other nation can deliver. I don't think we should remove another dictator with force. We learned from Iraq that doing so makes us responsible for all that comes next. But a targeted strike can make Assad or any other dictator think twice before using chemical weapons. Other questions involve the dangers of retaliation. We don't dismiss any threats, but the Assad regime does not have the ability to seriously threaten our military. Any other retaliation they might seek is in line with threats that we face every day. Neither Assad nor his allies have any interest in escalation that would lead to his demise. And our ally, Israel, can defend itself with overwhelming force, as well as the unshakable support of the United States of America. Many of you have asked a broader question. Why should we get involved at all in a place that's so complicated and where, as one person wrote to me, those who come after Assad may be enemies of human rights? It's true that some of Assad's opponents are extremists. But Al-Qaeda will only draw strength in a more chaotic Syria if people there see the world doing nothing to prevent innocent civilians from being gassed to death. The majority of the Syrian people and the Syrian opposition we work with just want to live in peace, with dignity and freedom. And the day after any military action, we will redouble our efforts to achieve a political solution that strengthens those who reject the forces of tyranny and extremism. Finally, many of you have asked, why not leave this to other countries or seek solutions short of force? As several people wrote to me, we should not be the world's policemen. I agree. And I have a deeply held preference for peaceful solutions. Over the last 2 years, my administration has tried diplomacy and sanctions, warnings and negotiations. The chemical weapons were still used by the Assad regime. However, over the last few days, we've seen some encouraging signs, in part because of the credible threat of U.S. military action, as well as constructive talks that I had with President Putin. The Russian government has indicated a willingness to join with the international community in pushing Assad to give up his chemical weapons. The Assad regime even said they joined the Chemical Weapons Convention, which prohibits their use. It's too early to tell whether this offer will succeed, and any agreement must verify that the Assad regime keeps its commitments. But this initiative has the potential to remove the threat of chemical weapons without the use of force, particularly because Russia is one of Assad's strongest allies. I have therefore asked the leaders of Congress to postpone a vote to authorize the use of force while we pursue this diplomatic path. I'm sending Secretary of State John Kerry to meet his Russian counterpart on Thursday, and I will continue my own discussions with President Putin. I've spoken to the leaders of two of our closest allies, France and the United Kingdom, and we will work together in consultation with Russia and China to put forward a resolution at the UN Security Council requiring Assad to give up his chemical weapons and to ultimately destroy them under international control. We'll also give UN inspectors the opportunity to report their findings about what happened on August 21st. And we will continue to rally support from allies from Europe to the Americas, from Asia to the Middle East, who agree on the need for action. Meanwhile, I've ordered our military to maintain current posture, to keep the pressure on Assad, and to be in a position to respond if diplomacy fails. And tonight I give thanks again to our military and their families for their incredible strength and sacrifices. My fellow Americans, for nearly seven decades, the United States has been the anchor of global security. This has meant doing more than forging international agreements. It has meant enforcing them. The burdens of leadership are often heavy, but the world's a better place because we have borne them. And so to my friends on the right, I ask you to reconcile your commitment to America's military might with a failure to act when a cause is so plainly just. To my friends on the left, I ask you to reconcile your belief in freedom and dignity for all people with those images of children writhing in pain still on a cold hospital floor. For sometimes resolutions and statements of condemnation are simply not enough. Indeed, I'd ask every member of Congress and those of you watching at home tonight to view those videos of the attack and then ask, what kind of world will we live in if the United States of America sees a dictator brazenly violate international law with poison gas and we choose to look the other way? Franklin Roosevelt once said, our national determination to keep free of foreign wars and foreign entanglements cannot prevent us from feeling deep concern when ideals and principles that we have cherished are challenged. Our ideals and principles, as well as our national security, are at stake in Syria, along with our leadership of a world where we seek to ensure that the war weapons will never be used. America's not the world's policeman. Terrible things happen across the globe, and it is beyond our means to right every wrong. But when, with modest effort and risk, we can stop children from being gassed to death and thereby make our own children safer over the long run, I believe we should act. That's what makes America different. That's what makes us exceptional. With humility, but with resolve, let us never lose sight of that essential truth. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
All right, man, this is a nasty version of Hot Damn Politics, so y'all make sure y'all download this show when this is over, goddammit. Firelighters, can you hear me?
For your next project.
Oh, Lord, he's back.
Five times in her.
Oh, no! How you turn it off?
The president that won't go away.
All right, what we got?
You know,
I didn't know where to stop that because it was just so ludicrous that it was hard to even stop it. It was hard to say stop, Don. I mean, what, you know, it was just quite something. I don't even know what kind of words to say for the speech that he made. It was just, to me, it was absolutely, you know, who, I can't remember who said he was a great communicator. I think that was Neff. And I keep saying, no, he's not. He's not a great communicator. He had, his arguments have very little foundation. And they also don't make very much sense.
Mm-mm.
Because I really think that he got played.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to save face. But, you know, unless you're just really slow, you don't see that he backed himself into a corner. And
explain.
Well, see, first, you know, he gave this speech about he was drawing a red line, which was kind of like George Bush's the first line in the sand, where he said he was drawing a line in the sand and that Saddam Hussein did not step over the line, you know, like you do when you were a kid. Step over this line. Step over this line.
Cross this line, motherfucker. I'm going to beat your ass.
Yeah. So he did what he called the red line, which was, you know, you guys can kill each other all you want, but you better not do this, and this. And so when these supposedly chemical attacks occurred, then he felt the need to say he had to retaliate against these chemical installations. But when he saw that he didn't have very much support from either the Democrats, of course he didn't have any from the Republicans except for the Hawks, but even his own Democrats wouldn't support him. Then he was talked into getting the backing of the Congress, which would have been like a chess move. If Congress voted to support him attacking these chemical installations, and in the future it constituted a ground war, he would always be able to say, you voted for me to send those bombs in. And so, therefore, these are the retaliations that occurred based on your votes. So, therefore, we have to go into this area on a limited or an extended basis. So he would have covered his own ass, and that's why he went to Congress to try to bamboozle them into supporting it, because he believes that the Republicans are always hawks for war.
Vortex said, Vortex in the chat room said, niggas voted for a black Jason. Yeah. Okay, maybe I'm the only one laughing at that shit.
Absolutely. But let us not forget that before he even walked into the White House and unpacked the shit good, he got the Nobel Peace Prize.
For killing
okay?
me. Then he had to kill some motherfuckers to get that.
I don't think you have to kill anybody, but you do receive $1 million payoff if you get the Nobel
Peace
Prize.
But I thought that the Nobel Peace Prize, like, didn't somebody get a Nobel Peace Prize off of killing a whole bunch of people?
No. It's supposed to be peace. You're supposed to be a peace person.
Right, but then somebody in history got the Nobel Peace Prize for killing some motherfuckers up.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
It was him, right?
That's the only one I know. Barack Obama.
Oh, okay. Well, then I was right. He got the Nobel Peace Prize. It was him. I knew it was somebody.
Yeah. He got the Peace Prize right when he first went into office, before he had done anything. They gave him the Peace Prize, which was astonishing to me because he hadn't done shit. He just got there. Like I said, they hadn't even unpacked yet. Okay, so now he's got the Peace Prize, and he's one of the biggest murderers in history. Confusing.
How he's one of the biggest murderers in history? What did he do?
He's the one the bloodiest. He has the most wars and bloody wars in history.
How y'all know that?
The number of people that he has murdered and the way that he has murdered them and the drone attacks and the friendly fire attacks and the, you know, his going in and taking out individuals, assassination style. He makes Bush look like Bush was a little loser.
I know it. Dr. York said one day, he said, a minute, goddamn, y'all going to goddamn realize that Bush was the greatest president y'all niggas ever had. That's what he said. He said, y'all going to realize that Bush was the greatest president y'all niggas ever had. Ha! This is some funny shit here.
Yeah.
Woo! Thank God I'm a Republican.
So he wants to get Congress to back him. Now, he made this speech last night, okay? Today, Wednesday, September the 11th, Congress was supposed to vote on supporting him. But because Putin made this offer that he would step in between Syria and the United States, then Obama was able to come in last night and say, whoa, wait a minute, hold up. I'm going to let Putin take this, and we'll see how this rides before I come back to you and let you know that the shit didn't work and we still got to bomb these places.
Now, here's my question.
Uh-huh.
What the hell they got to do with this nigga, though, in America's military? What the fuck they doing over there?
That's the point. His speech was, if you go back to his speech, he says, here's why, let me explain to you why we have to do something about this.
Wait, slow it down. What did he say? Let me explain to you why we got to do something.
Let me explain why. If we fail to act, the Assad regime will see no reason to stop using chemical weapons.
Oh, please. So what is they going to use, chemical weapons against the Assad regime?
No, they're going to send bombs over by battleship.
Isn't bombs full of goddamn chemical? Isn't that what make up a goddamn bomb? Chemical?
Well, see, I haven't really had anyone explain to me yet. Because, of course, you can't bomb the chemical factories. Because if you bomb the chemical factories, you release the chemicals. So I don't know what he intends to destroy. I don't understand what is he going to shoot at in order to get his point across.
But whether he shoot at anything or bomb anything, bullets, missiles, bombs are still made up of chemicals.
Only if you put chemicals into the bombs, but generally
do you know what a bomb?
Move.
You know what chemicals are?
No,
is a chemical.
I get the chemical breakdown of this, but what
nuclear.
I'm saying is that he's not going to send nuclear bombs. He would just blow up some shit.
That still would be chemicals involved. To blow up anything takes chemicals.
Right.
So,
of course. But not
so that means they've been violated
the
act then. When he said that Congress and them did an act in 19 buck fuck of no chemical warfare, no chemical woo-woo, then that should have been the end of guns, bombs, all that shit, tanks, drones, all of that shit is made up of chemicals. Them niggas ain't fighting with marshmallows.
No.
Weapons ain't made of sugar and goddamn lollipops.
I said this last week. The 1925 Geneva Protocol after World War II, and he briefly got into this, the history of chemical warfare in modern-day war. After World War I, when Germany released chemical warfare against the British and the American troops, they had a convention in Geneva, Switzerland, 1925, where they made a pact amongst the countries that chemical warfare would be banned, okay? That didn't mean jack, because in World War II, they were still committing chemical warfare. Germany went right back to chemical warfare again, and Japan went right back to chemical warfare again, and the United States went right back to chemical warfare again. So it has continued. It's never stopped. It never will stop. And it's been something that has been around for thousands of years. So to say that you're going to ban chemical warfare is ludicrous. Not only is it just the chemical part of releasing chemical gases, but like you said, there is a chemical reaction in a bomb. So warfare is chemicals.
Yeah, that means they're really supposed to be fighting with sticks and spears and shit like that.
That's right.
Or knives and shit. They will be sword fighting and shit.
Man to man. Mano y mano.
Fist to fist, huh? It's going to be in a boxing ring. Now, that'll be some good shit if all the world leaders go to goddamn Vegas, Caesar Palace, or whatever the fuck they fight at and get in the ring. I would love to see Obama then kick Sahad, whatever the fuck his name is.
Assad.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
So everything is pretty much language, right? So they're pretty much almost saying, like, it's depending on what chemicals you're using in order to accomplish whatever chemical they use in a bomb, one of those stealth bombers, as opposed to just him using those actual chemical weapons.
No, listen, chemical is chemical, okay? That's like oral sex is still sex. Fuck what you heard. It's still chemical. In order to make anything, these little weapons they got, they have to use chemicals, even in bullets, gunpowder. Gunpowder has chemical substance in it. It's a chemical, okay? They've been using chemicals. So that's why Fireline said that's a goddamn joke, that old the Geneva bullshit. So he making it seem like we not using any, we abiding by it. But motherfucker, nigga, don't your military, ain't they toting chemicals on their hips? Your police officers is toting chemicals on their hips? Matter of fact.
And we have nuclear submarines rolling around in the ocean.
Okay.
We have nuclear bombs on battleships.
Oh my God, you're lying.
That drop bombs. Come on. I mean, this
is you talk about they honor that shit, and this other motherfucker over there in Syria has dishonored the oath. Get the fuck out of here.
That's how they trick you. It's all tricky. Politicians play with words. Obama is, that dude is very good at playing with words.
On the ignorant, goddamn it. I ain't that stupid. I ain't have to go to school for chemicals are. Shit. Hell.
Of course.
Bleach is chemical, motherfucker. They should stop selling bleach. Shut it all down. See, that's bullshit. They would be glad I wasn't born. What year was that? Fireline when they did the Geneva Convention?
1925.
Yeah, I was too busy. I was shooting dice back then.
Okay, now, I want to do this because now that we have actually looked at his speech, we've listened to his speech, we are now going to look at true history of the United States and their love for chemical weapons.
Wait, okay. We still got questions about Obama, though.
Okay, okay.
Newbie got a hand up in the chat room.
Okay.
Said, so it's okay to kill them one way, but not another?
Yes. It is okay to kill them if you kill them one at a time. I didn't even say that to be funny, Dom, but that's the truth. As long as you shoot them one at a time, then that's clean. But if you wipe out a group of them at the same time, then that's dirty pool, as white people say. Dirty pool. That was foul.
Okay, well then, could you do me one favor real quick? Could you tell me again why he say he was going to do it? Why? What was his reason for this again, that little line that
okay.
you said he...
Okay. Here is the bottom line with him. His bottom line is that when there was a conference that the world leaders all signed against using chemical weapons, and Assad went against that commitment on his own people. So therefore, he is saying that if we allow him to do this, to get away with this, we are not the policemen of the world. I agree. I have deeply held preference for peaceful solutions. Okay? Now, listen to this bullshit. Over the last 2 years, my administration has tried diplomacy and sanctions, warnings and negotiations, but chemical weapons were still used by the Assad regime. So therefore, the Assad regime has now admitted that it has used these weapons and even said they joined the Chemical Weapons Convention, which prohibits their use. So Assad apparently said, yes, I did this.
Who the fuck is Assad? Where he at? Is he on YouTube saying it?
I don't know. I haven't seen him say it, so I don't know. Unless he called Barack and said it to him one-on-one. He has not made a speech where he said, yes, I did it, and what you going to do?
I can't deal with this.
Okay.
He called Barack and told him, right? He said, as a matter of fact, and I was there at the convention. I honor that.
So he is saying that if we allow him to do this, if we allow him to get away with it, here's the consequences that will happen. It's a slippery slope. I love that. I love that. That's great. Slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. What will happen is other countries will say, well, goddammit, Assad got away with it, so I'm going to use chemical weapons. And then you don't know. They might.
But my thing is this, though. Shouldn't the international courts deal with them? What the fuck this nigga got to do with it? If it was a Geneva Convention with all the countries and all of that or whatever, shouldn't the, what that shit called again? You know what I'm talking about?
United
What's the
Nations?
Shit with all the flags be flying?
The United Nations?
Yeah, shouldn't them?
Yeah. NATO? Yeah. Let me finish now. Let me read this. I'm quoting my fellow Americans. For nearly 7 decades, the United States has been the anchor of global security. This has meant doing more than foregoing international agreements. It has meant enforcing them. The burdens of leadership are often heavy, but the world's a better place because we have borne them.
What? What?
We have the big nigga in charge. We the head niggas in charge. And so when some shit fucks up, it's our duty to go fix that shit. And
to go over to somebody else's house and fuck with them because they done fuck with the rats and roaches that live in their house.
That's a gangster stuff right there.
Come
that's
on, that shit ain't gangster. That's bullshit. Come on in, newbie. Give us a mic check. That's bull. That ain't goddamn
hotel,
gangster.
Hotel.
Goddamn, what's good with you, newbie?
This is crazy. This makes absolutely no sense to me. It just sounds like, yeah, we can kill him this way, but we can't kill him the other way. It makes no sense.
That's what I'm saying. And what weapon they going to use to kill Assad then? A marshmallow?
It makes sense if you understand the agenda. And that line made it explicitly clear that in order for Israel to expand, they have to have additional land. So therefore, Syria is on the border. It is absolutely perfect for them to wipe out. Now, he does address this. He says in this speech, we have seen that our forcibly taking out a dictator doesn't work. Okay? America forcibly took out Saddam, and that shit blew up in their face. So what they really want to happen is to get these so-called, quote-unquote, rebels geared up enough to be able to overthrow Assad and his military, to get them out of the way so that they can literally move the Israelis into Syria so they can have more territory. Just like they did in the 1948 war when they landed on Israel and took over those people's land. So they want to be able to push their border so that they can have more space. So any way they can get to do this, look at what he says. By this chemical warfare, he is making his neighborhood dangerous for Turkey, Jordan, and Israel. These are American allies. And so therefore, we see that Assad and his group have gotten too big for their britches, so we need to take these motherfuckers out. And the way we're going to take them out is we have been trying to supply the rebels with arms, but Assad is playing dirty pool by killing these people in their targeted 11 targeted communities.
Why don't Obama supply us with some goddamn arms? What the fuck he doing worried about them niggas? Nigga, we getting killed over here. By all the Zimmermans and shit. When we gonna get some arms so we can fight back?
Well, I guess if Israel wants to take over Chicago, they would do the same for them here.
My point is, isn't Assad helping them anyway? Isn't that helping the cause? So ultimately what they want to do is occupy Syria, correct?
Say again.
I said, ultimately, isn't that what they want to do is occupy Syria? So isn't he basically helping them by bombing his own people?
Well, if it is in fact true that Assad even did it, and I said this 3 weeks ago, I don't believe Assad released those chemicals. I believe that was an American move. It's a false flag.
So okay. Where's the backlash?
What backlash? The only backlash is the fact that Russia said you better not step foot or not a hair on their head better not be disturbed. When my son comes home from where he's been, not a hair on his head better not be disturbed. So that is why he is backing down, because Russia is stepping up. And at this point, he has to wait and see whether or not Russia will in fact go in and disarm those chemical factories, which I don't think they're going to do. So we will be revisiting this in a few months.
So it's basically a race now. Who gets to them first?
No. It's buying Barack a little bit of time.
They're already starting to deploy troops for that. They're already even dipping in the reserves right now. I mean, I started off telling the story how there's a guy at my job, he's in the Army Reserve, and he's getting ready to leave in